What's going on, everybody? Happy Thursday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets powered by FTN right here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany here with you. We are finally here. Week one of the NFL season is here. Kickoff tonight gets us underway between the Bills and the Rams. Let's go. Daily Handle in the house. Giddy up. I agree. Mr. Nice Guy, woot woot. Finally, it is here. All the off-season prep, it's finished. Hopefully all your drafts went well, and we are ready to go. Week one, of course, we are going to talk Buffalo Bills and the Los Angeles Rams here today. The Rams opened up as favorites a while ago, but now the Bills enter as slight favorites here. We have a high total sitting around 52. We also have Brian Cook, who's going to join us in just a little bit. Get used to Brian. He's fantastic. I really enjoyed my conversation with him a few weeks ago when we previewed the I think we did the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we talked a lot about George Pickens, and then a couple days later, Pickens went off. He had a nice touchdown in the end zone. Brian's a super, super sharp dude. He's going to be tracking a lot of FTN data for us over at FTN, and I want him to be part of the shows on Thursday. We're going to preview the Thursday night football game. We'll take a look at some of the data from the week that just happened, and we'll also take an early look at Sunday games, see who he has his eye on, and again, use that data and show it off to you guys. 40 plus tools available in our FTN fantasy package. If you are part of the FTN family, you are already well aware of everything that we have to offer over at FTN. Weekly rankings are live. Projections are live. We have an edge tool for prize pick. I mentioned prize picks. I mentioned the 40 plus tools, Discord channel, everything that you need. Content. Oh my goodness. I think there's like a 5,000. I think it was 5,000. Was it 5,000 or 50,000 words from Adam Pfeiffer, a game-by-game breakdown on the DFS side of things, diving into every single matchup, coaching schemes. We have our wide receiver cornerback matchups tool, which is I think is just a game changer, you know, from a fantasy football standpoint. So you see some people in the house. I love it. Deesh, one last draft to go during the game tonight. Okay. All right. I wouldn't imagine too much changes, but you know, you never know, right? Daryl Henderson pops off. James Cook has a really good first NFL game. Guys are jumping up draft boards just a little bit. I kind of run some of my hockey leagues. I think a week after. I know one league we do a week after the first season. Or when the season starts, it shouldn't really change a whole lot, but you always have those certain players in the NHL who just like pop off with like a hat trick or something on opening night that maybe you wouldn't even really think about drafting, and they jump up draft boards. But that should be interesting for you, Deesh. Of course, anybody that has any other drafts, you know, later on in the week, we have you covered. You can use the promo code Meany, save yourself 20% to be part of the FTN fam, the betting package as well. Of course, we're going to talk picks on this show with Brian. We're going to look ahead to week one. I want to see who he's has his eye on. A couple intriguing matchups for sure. Tomorrow, we'll dive into week one picks, NFL props, survivor stuff, things like that. Take your start and sit questions, all that stuff. If you have any questions here, by all means, you can leave them. We'll address them on this show. If you're watching a replay of this show, you can leave them on the YouTube section here as well. Listening on iTunes and Spotify, you guys can always pop on over to our FTN Network YouTube page, ask a question, and I will always circle back to try to help you guys out. But yeah, start and sit. We'll do a lot of that tomorrow. And of course, we have the Discord channel that you can reach out to us at any moment. So it's exciting times. A lot to talk about here on this show. I want to I'll give you guys my predictions again in case you missed yesterday. We do have a portion of that live in our FTN Network YouTube page. You can go back and watch that. But I wanted to just hammer home my predictions. Some Super Bowl odds, also have some NFL future props, just a few players that I think are intriguing for like over or under on touchdown props for the season, things like that. And then I have some picks for you towards the end of the show for Thursday night football for some props, a couple same game parlays, a couple long shots in here, but we'll address all that stuff in a little bit. Is Pryor out? I didn't think he was out. Did that just come down? I was interested on his like over 5.5 tackles and an assist. I didn't think he's out. I know Tre'Davious White is out. That's a big loss for sure. We will talk about that with Brian in just a little bit. A couple things I wanted to say off the top here. A brand new NFL betting show coming your way tomorrow. Check this out. Tom Hannafin, myself, Taylor Mathis, Mike Randall as well. This should be fantastic. Tom's a super sharp dude. You know, he is a great host. I'm excited to work with him. Taylor is super sharp. She did her first prop video, which is live on her FTN Network YouTube page yesterday. You can go check that out. She likes Josh Allen. I won't tell you what she likes, Josh Allen. Go watch it. This is quick little minute hit. I'm excited to look to work with her. And Mike Randall is like one of the sharpest guys. We had him on this show a couple weeks ago. He's fantastic. So that show will come your way Friday at 5 Eastern. And we also have, what else were we going to do? The underdog. I'm excited. I'm thinking about football. I'm thinking of Bills and Rams. But we also have this, this little fun little exercise, I suppose. We've done a lot of these drafts on this show, so I wanted to bring this to your attention as well. I mean, great showing from Underdog. We're partners with them. We love everything that they do over at underdogfantasy.com. And we want you guys to show us your best team from the Best Ball Mania 3 for a chance to win. We're going to give away some swag and things like that. We may have some packages and all that good stuff for you as well. So I tweeted out the link. I'll put the link inside of the description of this video as well. But if you've done any Underdog Best Ball drafts, tweet at us. And show us your team, and we're going to pick a couple winners there. And I don't know how we're going to determine the best team. You know, if it was me determining, I would just obviously all my guys. I saw our guy, producer Tyler, in there. Man, what a draft he had yesterday. We should have had that. I feel like you had a lot of guys that we talk about on this show. AJ Dillon, Cortland Sutton, Hollywood. I think you had a pretty good draft there. You also had Swift and Saquon. So you may be on your way, dude. I got a few of those in there as well in the FTN draft. So without further ado, that's it. Opening block done. It's time to talk Thursday night football, Rams and Bills. We're going to get it on here with Brian after the break. Keep her locked. Welcome back in as we bring in Brian Cook, as you see at 5_4_6. Man, let's go. I was talking off the top of the show that I was super excited to have you on the show. We're planning to have you on the show every Thursday. If it works for your schedule, we want to show off your sharpness. And also, you're going to be, you know, tracking some data for us over at FTN. And I just really enjoyed our conversation a couple weeks ago. We talked a lot about the Steelers. We talked a lot about, you know, Justin Herbert. We were just having a fun NFL conversation. You pumped the tires of George Pickens. And then a couple days later, the guy went off in a preseason game, had a nice little touchdown in the back of the end zone. So I'm excited. A lot of prep in the offseason, but man, it's finally here. Bills and Rams tonight. We have a great one to kick us off.
Yeah. It's like Christmas, man. It's awesome to get back and watch some more football, especially with college, you know, last week starting up. It's great. This is the best time of the year right now. So this is great.
And some crazy college games, right? There was a nice start to the college season. There were some entertaining games, and certainly your Gators you were watching firsthand, right?
Absolutely. All about the Chomp. It's always.
Can we get it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They are, baby. He's the real deal. Love their offense. Love the it's like NFL-ish the way they run their offense. And it's going to be difficult for teams to stop it. It's just going to be a matter of, can they get everything together, all the pieces, and be cohesive, you know, in the SEC of all places. So.
Yeah, no doubt. Guys that are hanging out here live, you want to leave your start and sit questions. We certainly will get to them before this show is over. Let's just dive into this game here tonight, right? Bills and Rams. I mentioned earlier in the season, the Rams did open up as favorites. You see now -2.5. This line has pretty much stayed true as when we brought it up on Monday. You can still get -134 over at FanDuel. You get +120 if you want to back the Rams. That's over at DraftKings. And that total is sitting at 52 in most spots. You see a 51.5 over at FanDuel as well. But so we have the defending Super Bowl champion, Los Angeles Rams, and we have the Super Bowl favorites here in the Buffalo Bills, right? Not a lot of holes on this Bills squad, but they are going to be shorthanded in the secondary. Tre'Davious White is not going to play in this game. So I think, you know, that's the biggest, I would say, like, talking point maybe in this matchup. Am I wrong here?
No, I think that you're absolutely right. And I think it's one of those things where this is the future of the NFL. This is what the NFL is about. It's about being able to pass the ball whenever you need to, whenever you want to. And it's a game that's now dominated by corners and dominated by receivers and quarterbacks. So, Tre'Davious White not being there hurts, I think, a lot. With that being said, I think it's going to be a great test for Kyrie Elam. Another Gator, but he's one of the better corners in the draft, as we've seen, and he showed that he can play it in the preseason. But it's going to be a huge learning curve to go against Allen Robinson, Cooper Kupp. You know, Higbee's going to be out there, right? If they ever put him in the slot and he has to do any of that work, it's just going to be one of those things where this is not the game to be missing your top guy, right? This is not the offense that you want to miss your top cover guy in, you know. So that's what they're up against, really. That's what they're going to be going up against tonight.
Yeah, and we have them, according to our wide receiver cornerback matchup tool, like on Allen Robinson. I'm sure they're going to see some help, of course, right? I mean, just for a rookie, you're going to have, I'm sure there'll be attention on some for you know, doubles and things like that. But I'm interested to see Sean McVay's game plan here. Like, I feel like if there is a weakness overall in this Bills team when they're fully healthy, it's probably their run defense. We've seen some running backs, you know, run all over them over the past couple of years. I mean, there really isn't a lot of holes in this defense. If you look at them last year, like the number one defense there, and from a fantasy standpoint, they didn't allow anything really, like wide receivers and quarterbacks. They did have, you know, a bit of an easy schedule. Things will get tougher for them. It's definitely a tough schedule to start the season for Buffalo, but I guess I'll turn my attention and ask you about this backfield for LA. So you know, for Cam Akers, Daryl Henderson, both have kind of been nicked up through, you know, training camp. Akers came back last year earlier than I think anybody expected from the Achilles injury. He wasn't that efficient, but he got the ball a lot. He got a lot of touches. You know, I think his rushing yard props roughly 42, and then Daryl Henderson's roughly 30 here. Yeah, you see some numbers there, 42.5 for Cam Akers, but Jeff Ratcliffe has projections over for both of these guys, but I'm thinking like maybe Sean McVay will just like, depending on Stafford's elbow, they're just going to try to throw the rock and maybe pick on, you know, the rookie a little bit here.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, it works in their favor, right? If they do that, I think that the Rams are in a great spot where, you know, they're hot, right? And they have everything they need. They can be balanced. So kind of like Tampa Bay, they can be balanced. Cam Akers is going to have a good year this year, picking up where he left off, more time to recover. Definitely think they'll probably watch his carries just so they don't have another injury happen. And they also have like reliable guys back there. But if I'm Sean McVay, I don't get too far away from what's been working for us. The thing about Matthew Stafford, and I've told a lot of people this in the past, Matthew Stafford is a turnover waiting to happen a lot of the times. He does make very, very nice throws, very good plays. I mean, he's clearly one of the guys, right, at quarterback. But I'd rather be balanced and use him when we need him and, you know, opportunistically, rather than say, hey, we're going to have you throw the ball 50 times. Like, you have to throw the ball 50 times. We're not going to get too many touches from our running backs. And then another thing, too, is – Cam Akers, great, but Kyren Williams, man, from Notre Dame, he's there as well. And a lot of people haven't talked about him. He hasn't gotten a ton of opportunities, but that's a guy to key on maybe even later in the season. He's a very, very good three down back. He was in college, shorter, smaller guy, stockier guy, slippery though. He's very elusive, I'd say. And he catches the ball while coming out of the backfield. So that's always a plus, always something that you can always rely on. And I think that their backfield in general is probably going to be one of the stronger ones over the course of the season, even with injuries. So
I agree with you that Cam Akers is going to have a really good season. Do you feel like off the hop though, this could be closer to a split backfield? Like if we're projecting touches for these two today, I think they probably both get 10 carries. Maybe we have Cam Akers getting, you know, just over 10 and Henderson flirting with 10. Do you think that's fair? Like it's close, maybe 60-40 to start? I mean, we know, I mean, I think Akers is the better back. You know, Henderson, if you look at some of the metrics, I mean, over the past couple of years, he's been decent too when he's on the field. You know, it's a pretty good 1-2 punch if both of these guys could stay healthy. But would you agree that it's maybe 50-50 to start? And then once we get into the season, Cam Akers is a guy that's probably getting, you know, at least 70% of the snaps and touches.
Yeah, I think that week one is always that time where you kind of still see what everybody's going to do. And I think you'll see that across the board for a lot of teams, especially if you have two guys that can run the ball well. You'll see a lot of 50-50, you know, touch shares coming out of the backfield. Cam Akers is no exception. I mean, like I said, they also want to watch his injury history. They want to watch what's going on. I could see it being a 50-50 workload. And I think it'll eventually go up. You know, they'll start leaning more to Cam. And if the game gets close, I think they're going to stick with Cam, I would say, or whoever's hot, really. But I would assume Cam would be the hot guy. So they'll stick with him. But yeah, absolutely. 50-50 for sure.
Before we move on from this Rams side of things, from an offensive standpoint, how do you think Allen Robinson fits in on this team? Because the number two last year on this squad was pretty good. It was Robert Woods or Odell Beckham Jr. When OBJ was brought in down the stretch of the season, he looked really comfortable inside this offense as the number two with a lot of attention on Cooper Kupp. And, you know, in the playoffs, he was really good too before, you know, unfortunately he had that season ending knee injury and he's, you know, just recovering still without a team. But Allen Robinson has been one of the most underrated wide receivers, I think, in the game over the past few years. I mean, he came onto the scene strong in Jacksonville with poor quarterback play and head coaching play. He had a season with, I think, 14 or 16 receiving touchdowns.
Yeah.
Forget last season, he played through some injuries. Some, you know, Fields, young rookie, Dalton, head coach. I mean, it was just a bloody mess in Chicago last year. But the two seasons before that, he was a top 10 wide receiver in terms of fantasy. He was the guy, whether it was Foles or whoever the heck was throwing him passes in Chicago, Trubisky. He was like a target hog and he handled top coverage. He's going to have like some soft matchups this season with a lot of the attention after Cooper Kupp just had like a historic season. Do you feel like Allen Robinson is, you know, due for, you know, a nice comeback season? I mean, talking about odds, I think he's like 25-1 as a comeback player of the year. There's a lot of great candidates, of course, Jameis Winston, CMC, Derrick Henry. There's a lot of great candidates, but I think at the end of the day, Robinson, I mean, the dude's got to be smiling ear to ear here for, for tonight, right? Best quarterback he's ever played with, best play caller, head coach he's ever been with.
Yeah, I would agree with all that. And also to add on to it, Allen Robinson historically has never really had a consistent quarterback. So like he's going into an offense that's fresh off of a Super Bowl, a proven, very good quarterback, done some very good guys in his career, knows how to get them the ball. And then also, like you said, smiling from ear to ear because he has Van Jefferson as well and Cooper Kupp. You know, everybody's going to get some attention. Cooper Kupp's going to get the most attention. So think about one of the best route runners, you know, in football. I'd venture to say Allen Robinson's probably a top 10 route runner in this league. You know, one of those guys in soft coverage. He's going to create a lot of separation. And really, he's probably not going to be the first read a lot of the times. But think about the Odell Beckham effect, right? When Odell Beckham got there, he didn't really have to do much. He just really had to make sure he was in the right spot at the right time and then catch the ball. And I think you're going to get to see a lot of that in Allen Robinson. And I could make the argument that Allen Robinson right now at this point in his career may have more to offer than Odell Beckham. So you could even add that to it, right? You have a guy like that in your offense now that could probably give you a little bit more. That's going to be great for that offense, man. They needed another guy like that.
Absolutely. High-powered offense, of course, right? And I just think about Stafford in year two with McVay and with, Cooper Kupp and then adding Allen Robinson, right? It could get better, which is scary to think about, right? These two they've only been together for a year and think about the magic that they made. No Van Jefferson tonight. Ben Skowronek could actually be interesting. He's certainly going to get more play here today, I would say. Tutu Atwell is another guy who maybe we can get a decent look at as well. Do you have any concerns with Stafford's elbow? This is just a warrior, man. You go back to his days in Detroit. This guy played absolutely everything. This is nothing for my team.
I don't know if I have really any concerns. I have more concerns with Matthew Stafford's decision making before I have any concerns physically with him. So I think that they're going to try to limit his throwing a little bit. I don't think he's going to be on some type of a pitch count per se, but I think that they're really going to kind of lean on those backs. They have a balanced offense. The thing I'm curious to see is the matchup with the new offensive tackle. I had his name down. You know what? I thought I had his name down. I didn't write his name down. But Whitworth is gone. And now you go against Von Miller and Brissot and Ed Oliver and all those guys. Like, you're going against a pretty good front seven. So you got a new tackle here. How is he going to fare against those guys? That's going to be what I keep an eye on tonight.
Mr. Nice Guy has a Rams and Bills question. Guys, we'll get to the other ones too. I will not forget about you with some of this stuff. So he just said Cam or Knox. He's leaning Knox. Yeah, I would. Knox is interesting because of, you know, the secondary, of course, with the Rams, right? We have Diggs and Ramsey. That's going to be fantastic. Diggs has kind of been shut down in his last couple matchups against Jalen Ramsey. I think we could see Gabe Davis have a pretty strong game. Of course, like, he's the hype train. I mean, last time we saw Gabe Davis, he had the 4-touchdown game against Kansas City. He came on strong in his rookie season and in his sophomore season. And the rapport between him and Josh Allen, there certainly seems to be a really nice connection with those two guys. Isaiah McKenzie in the slot, Jameson Crowder, like these guys are not 100% healthy. I know McKenzie's going to play, but Knox, you know, we could see, last time I think Josh Allen played against this Rams defense, we saw Kroft have like a couple touchdowns. So that's a sneaky little call, like maybe Dawson Knox. I'm going to talk about him a little bit later, maybe as a touchdown prop, but I probably would go with the running back there in Cam Akers. I typically lean running back over like a tight end because I just know that there's going to be some guaranteed touches there. Like it's a bit of a safer play, right? Mm-hmm. This guy's going to touch the ball. If they get near the goal line, he could run one in for you.
Yeah. I was going to say the same thing. I'd go Cam for sure. Just guaranteed touches. You know, he's going to have a chance to make a play. I mean, the tough thing about tight ends and receivers, you got to rely on somebody to get them the ball. Like they got to get them the ball. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that being said, I think Knox, I think in a perfect world, I think the Bills would love to have those three guys, McKenzie, Davis, and Knox have big games because Stephon Diggs may be irrelevant tonight. We all know how Jalen Ramsey plays. He's with the best man corner, best man or zone corner in football. So, you know, those three guys have a big night. Eventually, Stephon Diggs is going to get open. But if those three guys can go in there and make plays, I think it's going to be a tough night for the Rams. They don't want all three of those guys going in there making plays. You know what I mean?
What are you looking for tonight on the Bills side of things? Are you looking for how the backfield shapes up early on? Like, do you feel like James Cook is a guy that's going to be a difference maker for the Bills this season? Are you looking like at a guy like Gabe Davis here to step up because towards the end of last season, not only was he scoring touchdowns, but you know, he was right there in terms of end zone targets with Diggs and snap counts. Like he seems ready to step up to be like a solid number two on this team. But I'll ask you, what are you looking for tonight on this Bills side of things, on the Buffalo side of things?
Yeah, for the Bills, I'm really kind of looking for how the offense is going to evolve without Brian Daboll in there. Yeah. I really want to see if they're going to lean more to the run game a little more because without Josh Allen, I'm saying like they ran the ball a lot with Josh Allen. That was their run game for the most part. I want to see how they're going to use these other guys. I mean, they got Cook for a reason, you know, so I want to see what they do with that. And I think it's going to help them. I don't know why they wouldn't have done it in the past. I get you, you know, you have arguably the most athletic and best quarterback in the league, but it's always nice to help them out. So I'm curious to see the balance between the two, if they go back to old ways or if they change it a little bit. And then, yeah, just like you said, man, I want to see Gabriel Davis take that next step. He's shown the ability that he can do it, but he has never consistently, statistically at least, done it. So, you know, he's probably got a ton of confidence. It's the time to shine because he's not going to get that type of coverage. You know, Stephon Diggs is going to get a lot of the attention. It's going to be a time for him to step up, really. And they're going to move him all around, slot and outside. So I'm curious to see how they use him tonight.
Yeah, me too. I mean, they tried to get J.D. McKissic, and the Bills couldn't get him and then spent that second round pick on Cook. It's like the only thing I think this team was lacking offensively, a guy that can take like a 5-yard screen and just take it to the house, right? He's super explosive. So really looking forward to him as well. Daily Handle will have some long shot bets. We'll try to call some touchdowns on the show before we move away from this game. I'll put you on the spot. Who do you think wins it? I mean, it's a tough one to call, right? Who do you like tonight? Who gets it done?
Hey man, defense always steps up in my mind. I got to go Rams because I think that they're going to have that pass rush that kind of wins the game for them. You know, Josh Allen's a great quarterback and, you know, they got some great pieces, but them not having their corners, you know what I mean? And just Aaron Donald's dominance. I just think they're more cohesive team right now. And I think the Bills somewhat are going to be, I won't say they're looking for an identity because we know what they are. But I think they're kind of trying to reestablish kind of what they want to do. And I don't think they're there yet. But I do think that it could be a great matchup later in the season, it matters, right? It'll be interesting to see what happens tonight. But I'm going Rams. Absolutely. For sure.
It could be a future Super Bowl matchup, no doubt. There's a couple questions. There's a Pickens one, so maybe you have to talk some Pickens. We will take a break. We'll say goodbye for Rams and Bills for now. I'm going to revisit a little bit later on. Daily Handle will try to get you a long shot. I don't know what you're looking for, like maybe a touchdown call. I mentioned Ben Skoronek at 4-1 to find the end zone. I think he's interesting. You know, even Daryl Henderson's +310. We talked about James Cook. He's plus 380. Maybe he does take a screen to the house, and maybe they're playing from behind a little bit, passing the football, and potentially as a guy who could find the end zone for you. But there is a question about Pickens and your analysis as hit for him as a player. I think we could rewind the tape, but we'll touch on that, and we'll take an early look at week one, and we'll see like what catches your eye, a matchup that you're looking forward to, maybe a player or two as well. So Brian, hang on. More Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network. Keep your lock. Welcome back in. Chris Meaney and Brian Cook here with you on Mean Streets. We just finished recapping Thursday Night Football, Bills and Rams. We're all super excited to see some questions. We'll try to address them here in this segment now that we have Brian in here. Actually, we do have some kind of breaking news. Sean McVay just signed an extension. Les Snead signed an extension. So they got the GM and the head coach locked up, I think, to 2026, I am seeing. So
awesome.
Hey, the band's all back together. I know they didn't get Von Miller, but you know, they've done a lot over the past couple years, right? Like trading first round picks. Here you go. We don't want them. We're win now. They always find a way to kind of fit under the cap with his cup and Donald and just kind of making it all work. So they got everybody back together, and this from Pro Football Talk. The Rams are 5-0 in week one under Sean McVay. So maybe 6-0 according to Brian and a couple people in here too. We have Tyree Kelly in the house. Rams win tonight, book it, 27-23. So we do have some season long stuff here as well. I think we can get to if Drew Livingstone in the house, any 2-point conversation plus 280 with these offenses. Does that intrigue you at all? Like a little trickery? We do have a high total game here today. We could see some points.
I was going to say that's, I mean, you never know, right? When a game's like this, super close, they might need one. Somebody might need it, you know? So yeah. I put money on yeah. some type of 2-point conversion tonight. I'd say probably the Bills, I think, would be more apt to do it rather than the Rams.
I think that's
just kind of how they are. They're like, screw it. We're going to go out there and we're going to,
because they can.
Yeah.
Right. It's just one of those teams. It's like Allen, you just trust him, right? Like 2-point. Yeah. He just can't get it in. He seems to always be able to get it in there. Drew, except for that game against the Titans last year. I mean, he couldn't get it in the.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to bring that up. Yeah. That was the one time.
Taking some shots out of here. Okay. Nomadic K is in the house. Devin Singletary tonight, or wait for J.K. Dobbins news and play Mike Davis, risk of playing Cordell Patterson. That's interesting because I don't think that J.K. Dobbins is going to play. I'm just speculating. And if he does play, I can't imagine he's got to be on a pitch count here today. I don't think I would trust him on my roster. But if he didn't play, Mike Davis is a guy that could touch the ball, I don't know, like 20-plus times against the Jets. So that's pretty interesting as well. Would you roll the dice on Singletary this week, or would you wait it out and see for Mike Davis?
I think I'd wait it out and see from Mike Davis. And for the couple simple facts that, yes, Mike Davis, when he's had his opportunities, he showcased that he can make plays, right? In Carolina, he did very well backing up Christian McCaffrey and coming in when he was hurt. And then Atlanta, he did some good things last year. But also, it's the Ravens versus the Jets. I really don't see that game being that close. It could be one of those situations where, hey, we're just trying to run the clock out, or we're just trying to provide some time. Let's give, a couple carries. Let's run the ball more. And that's one of the best running off. It might have been the best running offense in the league the last couple of years. So it's up there. It's top 5 running offense. Why not go with Mike Davis?
So Shane Nowak is in the house, and he mentioned, would you start Pickens this week? What is your analysis on him as a player? You know, for those that missed it, I thought you nailed it when it came to him as like a physical wide receiver, somebody you had mentioned that they hadn't had in their offense since Hines Ward. It's been a long, long time. And, he showed up in the preseason, and you know, Pickett looked okay as well, even though it will be Mitch Trubisky to start week one. What do you think about him overall again as a player? Do you mind touching on him again as well? And do you think you would play him in week one, a matchup against the Bengals, or would you just wait it out? Like, it may take some time. It certainly does for some rookies in the NFL.
Yeah, so my analysis in the scouting report even that I had on him coming out of college was that he's a receiver that can do it all, really. He's got the vertical speed to beat you deep. He's good enough route runner at this stage of his game where he can get open in between the hashes and in the middle of the field. And then that physicality, what he doesn't have in speed, he has it in the size and strength to, turn guys around, get in front of them, use his body and make plays. So it just fits the mold of, you know, the old school Steelers receiver. And then he's a factor in the running game. And with a guy like Najee Harris, you know, you want guys that can go down the field and block, or if they have to come down into the box, they're not afraid to hit a linebacker. They're not afraid to crack an end. They're not afraid to, you know, hit a safety, a strong safety or so. So that's my kind of analysis on him. And then for this week, I mean, is Deontay Johnson playing? We really don't know. Right. I think he's listed. Is he questionable or is he out? It's one of the two. I really didn't check it, but I know he's teetering. And I always kind of go for the Bengals. They've had improved their secondary very much. But with that being said, I think that he's going to be a good pickup this week. You know, they haven't improved it that much. Let's be honest. That was their weakness last year. They've made some moves, but I think that, you know, that the group of receivers in Pittsburgh is way better than what they have in the secondary in Cincinnati. So Pickens may be a feature guy going against a weaker secondary in the NFL. Like, I would take it. Honestly, I would take him.
There's a couple more questions here. Do you mind hanging on for one more segment? We'll break. Maybe we can get to one or two more of these questions. There's a tough one here. I mean, Mark Carr's got decisions already. He's like A.J. Dillon or Cortland Sutton. Like, I don't even know. Like, both of these guys. Are you kidding me? You got to play both of them. But I have a hard time not playing Cortland Sutton. Like, Monday Night Football in Seattle. Russ is already, like, taking shots at Pete Carroll. He held him back a couple years ago for, like, MVP talk and votes. I think he tries to go in there. I know that it's a tough place to play in the past, but, man, this Seattle team has a lot of holes. So I have a hard time, Mark, not rolling out Cortland Sutton. I think we can see Russell Wilson take a couple deep shots. But I want to ask you the game, the matchup that you're looking forward to the most for week one. So hang tight, dude. One more segment with Brian. We'll be back in a couple. Welcome back in. Chris, me, and Brian Cook here with you. We're going to try to chop it up every Thursday, preview the Thursday night football game, take a look at week or the week to come on the weekend. This is week one on Sunday. And also, we're going to try to incorporate some of the data on this show as well. Of course, like, the season hasn't started yet, so look for that on this show. We'll be talking to Brian a lot about that. Let's bring up this board. It's like week one, just kind of the matchups here. Tyler, if you have it. Okay, so, you know, we have a couple of mismatches, of course, you know, up at the top left there, 49ers and Ravens checking in as, you know, touchdown favorites despite being on the road. We have the Saints at 5.5. We have the Colts as well on the road against the Texans at 8. We have the Eagles on the road as favorites as well. But man, just mentioned the Broncos, Seattle, like, obviously the NFL, right? They know what they're doing here. And we got we got Baker against his former team, you know, in the Browns. And then we have, of course, Russ, which we just talked about, heading into, you know, a stadium where he has had a lot of success over the course of his career. Broncos there at 6.5, but a couple matchups that pique my interest, certainly. I am, of course, excited about those two that I just mentioned, the revenge factor. Chiefs and Cardinals could be interesting. But what about the Raiders and Chargers? Like, the last time we saw these two teams play at the end of the season last year, Brian, it was looking like it would be a tie. And then they would both get into the playoffs, and the Steelers wouldn't get into the playoffs. It was an exciting matchup. You and I, last time we talked a lot about Justin Herbert. Is that one of the matchups you're looking forward to? And if not, what one does pique your interest?
Yeah, I think that's definitely one of the matchups I'm looking forward to. I have two that I'm really looking forward to, and that's one of them. Yeah, I mean, we get to see a new look from two defenses, basically. Two new, you know, personnel, new players in there, new edge rushers, you know, new corner for the Chargers, right? You get J.C. Jackson. I mean, that literally, to me, flips the top off in terms of competition in that division because, you know – That's the best. Honestly, that's behind Jalen Ramsey. I'd venture to say he's number two or three, you know, best corners in the game. And that's a pass heavy division. So you're essentially taking a guy away from, you know, a receiver out of the game every week. I think that's probably one of my favorite matchups, just to see how they play. I want to see how Justin Herbert does this year. You know, he's got Gerald Everett. I think he's going to play a big part in what they do this year. Even though he's not a premier guy, he's a very athletic tight end. And I think that they excel when they have guys like that in there to go along with Keenan Allen and Palmer and all those guys. So, but my other matchup is the Fins and the Patriots, man. I don't think, you know, for me, I don't see how you could turn an eye to it because essentially you have a brand new look in the Miami Dolphins, two of the fastest players at receiver playing at Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Tua, we got to see what he can do, right? Everybody's wondering how's Tua going to play. But also you have Chase Edmonds and Raheem Mostert, and that's probably arguably the fastest backfield in the NFL. So Mike McDaniels knew what he was doing. He said, hey, we're going to gather up as much speed as we can. I mean, Gesicki even to an extent, I mean, he's basically a slot receiver but can play tight end. So you essentially have probably the fastest offense in the league, arguably, you know, against the Patriots defense, who historically is good, but they're missing guys in the secondary. I mean, Juwan Williams is going to be their main guy. That's or John Jones, I'm sorry. John Jones is going to be their main guy this year playing corner for them. And J.C. Jackson not being there really hurts. But they've always had a dominant front seven. And I think that's going to – you're going to see, like, what's going to happen here. Is the front seven going to overpower Tua and the Dolphins? Or is it going to be one of those things where the Patriots just can't simply keep up because they don't have the speed, you know what I mean, to do what Belichick really likes to do?
Man, I have some major concerns about New England's offense. Like, I really do. Yeah. Like, you lose a guy like Josh McDaniels, and then, you know, Matt Patricia's in there back again. I don't know who the heck is going to be calling plays. I mean, I trust Bill Belichick to kind of figure it out, but, man, it may be slow to start. Mac Jones had a nice rookie season, but he kind of tailed off towards the end, and then he didn't really have a great camp and preseason. You look at the wide receivers, they're one of the most expensive wide receiver rooms in all of football, and there's a lot of question marks with some of these guys. I see the upside in Devontae Parker and Jakobi Meyer, and I think, you know, Myers, I think Kendrick Bourne is a nice, sneaky little player, but my goodness, I don't know if they're going to be able to keep up with all these high-powered AFC teams, right? There's a lot of explosive teams. Of course, you just mentioned Miami and the new look. I'm excited about them as well. And then you got the Bills and then all those teams inside the AFC West. And then the Ravens are coming in healthy, and you got the Bengals who went. So it could be a long year in New England. Dude, unfortunately, we're out of time. Give me one player. Maybe you've already said it. One player that you got your eye on this weekend that, I mean, maybe it's a Dolphin.
One player.
One player. You know what? Looking for.
You know what? The homer in me is going to come out a little bit.
That's all right.
I'm going to go Baker Mayfield. I am interested because, and I've been telling people this, I think the Panthers may be sneaky good this year. I won't say good. They'll be average or better. And I think that the reason why is because they have weapons. They have a solid defense. They have guys on the edge that can rush. And what they've really been missing was competent offensive line play from the edges, and then also good quarterback play. And I think when Baker's healthy, he's average to above average. I mean, he took the Browns to the playoffs. They had a lot of help. But, I mean, you essentially have Christian McCaffrey, Baker, Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore. I mean, you know, you got guys that can play. Brian Burns rushing the passer. You know, there's going to be guys that they, you know, they just happen to be in the wrong division, but they could sneakily be good this year, I think, if they win a couple division games. And you never know, right, what's going to happen towards the end of the year. So Baker's going to be a huge part in the reason why that happens.
People hate on Baker too much, man. You're right. He brought that team to the playoffs. They won a playoff game against the Steelers. Not only did they win that, I mean, they spanked the Steelers, let's be honest. Last year, he played through so much. Like, there was just so many injuries that he battled through. Look for DJ Moore. I think he's fifth in the NFL over the last 3 years in receiving yards, fourth among wide receivers. The touchdowns haven't been there. I think this is an upgrade for sure. And then CMC, right? If CMC can stay healthy, it's going to take so much pressure off Baker and the offense. I remember a couple years ago, the Panthers, all they did was draft defensive players. I have actually liked their drafts over the past couple years, right? Building up that roster, like you mentioned, the defense as well. We do got to get out of here. We appreciate it. Enjoy the football, dude. This has been fantastic, and I can't wait to chop it up with you next week as well. Give Brian a follow. He's going to be doing some great work for us over at FTN. We'll say goodbye to him for now. We'll answer some of these questions. I got some picks for tonight, and I got a couple more future props for you as well. We will talk a little bit more about Cortland Sutton. Thank you so much, Brian. We'll be back in a couple.
Thank you.
Welcome back in. We'll get to some of these questions in a little bit. Tyler, if you can kind of filter through some of them. I just wanted to share some more futures with you guys. And, you know, maybe I could have done this tomorrow, but let's do it again. Let's kind of roll through in case you missed it. Tyler, whatever you have for, like, look at this. These are a lot. I have a lot of this in the bet tracker. If you're part of the FTN betting family, you'll be able to see this and see some of this. But, man, clearly I like overs and not so much about unders, but I kind of rank them in order that I like them, right? AJ Dillon over 5.5 rushing touchdowns. These are all around -115, -110, -120. I think the only one that's juiced is down near the bottom at, 6.5 touchdowns for Mike Williams. But, I mean, big ADOT guy, end zone target. He was inside the top five last year in end zone targets. High powered offense, aggressive offense. So I don't mind paying a little bit of juice on Mike Williams. But these first couple, AJ Dillon, Cortland Sutton, Allen Robinson, Hollywood Brown, right? Marquise Brown, we're big fans of him on this show. I know, you know, Arizona plays at a bit of a slower pace. It's not high powered like, you know, it first was when Kingsbury came in as a head coach. But man, there's just a real opportunity for Marquise Brown. There's an upgrade at the quarterback position from Lamar Jackson to Kyler Murray. He's went from 63% to 66% to 69% completion rate and no Hopkins for the first 6 weeks of the season. Rondell Moore in the slot. I don't know. Come on. Like, give me Hollywood. Like, he's the deep threat guy inside this offense. You're going to take some shots with him deep down the field. He had a breakout campaign last year, and Zach Ertz is not 100% to start. We got like a 53-point total here between the Chiefs and Arizona. I think you can get a couple here this weekend. Leonard Fournette, I there's reports that they're going to scale back a little bit. You know, the offensive line is a little bit depleted as we head into the season, but this is the guy there inside this offense. It's a high powered offense. They're going to score a lot of points in Tampa Bay. He's going to be the goal line back there. AJ Brown, CeeDee Lamb, these guys for over their touchdown prop. I got a lot of Cole Kmet, as you can see. He had zero touchdowns last year, but he did have 60 grabs. I think he can surpass the 585 that you see near the bottom left there. Over 59.5 receiving yards or receptions rather than I think he can get over 600 receiving yards. There's not a lot going on there in Chicago. Like there's somebody has to catch passes there between him and Darnell Mooney. I expect them to be big time players for the Bears offense. Gabriel Davis season. I'm in on it. Over 7.5 receiving touchdowns. Absolutely. I mean, he's basically there in his first couple seasons of the NFL as like, you know, the third, fourth option. And just, you know, over time last year overtook that second option in the passing game down the stretch. End zone targets were certainly there. Kyle Pitts only had one touchdown over 4.5. I think he gets there. Michael Pittman as the alpha, an upgrade at the, you know, at the quarterback position from Carson Wentz to Matt Ryan as well. So I'm kind of in on all this. Dalton Schultz, you know, Schultz over 5.5 receiving touchdowns. Are you kidding me? Like I'm definitely in on that. He could be the number one option inside the red zone for Dak. I did see a Dallas question from Zeke. I don't know if you can find that one. We could bring it up, but you know, I'm throwing a lot at you, Tyler. If you have the projections, we can do that as well. Just give you guys a little bit of a sneak peek. The NFC and the AFC teams that I've called here. Playoffs, this is what I've got. This is what I'm rolling with. I like the Rams. I like the Bucs. I think both of these teams, the NFC is really, really top heavy. You know, there's a lot of talk maybe San Fran. I don't know. I think we'll see some growing pains from Trey Lance. So I'm in on the Rams. I'm in on the Bucs. I think that they're really good, despite being 7-1 for the Bucs and 11-1 for the Rams, I think that's where your money should go. If you're looking for a Super Bowl pick and future odds, the AFC is just so loaded. I can make a case for 5 or 6 teams to win the Super Bowl in the AFC. I can't imagine the Rams or the Bucs. I just can't see an NFC championship game without one of those two teams in it. The Packers have not shown me anything. I think they've been overrated. I like their defense. They couldn't get by San Fran last year at home with Devontae Adams. A lot of question marks at the wide receiver position. The Eagles and the boys, I think these two teams get in because of how weak the NFC is. Philly's, I think, maybe the most improved team in the NFC. And I am giving the benefit of the doubt for the 49ers again. And it was tough for me between Minnesota and LA, but I went with Minnesota and New Orleans, but I went with Minnesota there. I think a little bit of an easier schedule. And then we'll wrap up here with the AFC. Tyler, if you have that one as well. So I went with Bills, Colts, Broncos, Ravens, Chargers, Chiefs, Bengals. Man, it was really tough for me to leave out the Raiders as well. It's just, how can you put in four teams from one division to make it? I think the division in the South is going to be a cakewalk for the Colts. I'm not really a big believer in the Titans this season. If something happens to Henry, it's going to be bad news for them. So that's what I'm rolling with. We could revisit it. Maybe tomorrow I have some more win totals that you can get into as well. We'll take a quick break, and I got some picks and some props for tonight's football game. Stay tuned. Welcome back in. So a couple props here for you, and I got a same game parlay as well. So Cooper Kupp over 89.5 receiving yards. I mean, I got to take this, right? I mean, this is a guy that averaged 114.5 per game last year. I think this is going to be a big Gabe Davis and Dawson Knox game. I really do. You know, we talked about Ramsey and Diggs not having a lot of success against Ramsey. I don't think Allen will throw his way. I like Gabriel Davis over 59.5 receiving yards. I also like him to have four grabs, but it is juiced. I see 4.5 at plus money. I could certainly get behind that. We have the over on Akers and Daryl Henderson. According to our projections, Henderson sitting at 30 receiving yards. We have him for 38, according to Jeff Ratcliffe. And we have Cam Akers over 50 rushing yards. So I think both of these guys are in play. This is your long shot daily handle. Skoronek, over 19.5 receiving yards. You can get him anytime touchdown at 4-1. First-time touchdown, 28-1. I think, you know, James Cook is interesting for his touchdown. If you're looking for long shots, that's kind of the way that I would go. You know, maybe, you know, even Dawson Knox at 13-1 for first touchdown, or Singletary 11-1 is not awful. Josh Allen runs one in at 13-1. If you're looking for long shots, that's the way I would go. I think Knox and also Gabe Davis find the end zone, but Singletary only needs one grab here. You know, I think Buffalo will be playing from behind a little bit. I like the Bills to win this game, actually. I think that the Bills find a way to get it done. I would take them on the spread at 3. I checked in with them overall as a when it came out, right? Got them at plus money as dogs here. I know it will be tough against the Rams and their secondary, but I do like this Bills team, even though they're shorthanded in the secondary. And then we'll get out of here on the same game parlay if you can check it up. A couple long shots here for you as well. This one on the right, I like it. It was plus 180 when I put it in the tracker a few days ago, but Stafford and Allen to have at least two passing touchdowns, plus 140, that's at DraftKings. And this one on the left is a little bit of a longer shot. Allen and Stafford over 1.5 touchdowns, passing Gabriel Davis for four receptions, Dawson Knox, Gabriel Davis, and Cooper Kupp, all these guys to find the end zone. I don't know if I got to everybody's question. I'm sorry if I didn't. If you can just leave it in the comment section when this video is done, I will circle back and I'll get to them. On yes, absolutely, Komet over 33.5 receiving yards. That one I already have locked in for that tracker. Guys, enjoy the football game tonight. Have some fun, and we will talk about it tomorrow. We'll dive into some more picks for the weekend. Thanks for taking the time to hang out. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Cheers.